We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Monday, Brevard County, Florida. It is March the 16th, and hopefully yesterday you bewore the Ides of March. That's one thing I remember from high school English class, beware the Ides of March. So don't ask me where this stuff comes from, folks. It just pops into my head. I hope you are having a great day and had a wonderful weekend at church. And we're going to be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today and addressing some of the issues in there in regard to edifying one another. And I want to ask you to look at this weekend. You know, here we are on Monday morning. It's a time of looking forward to what we've got coming up this week, but it's also a time of reflect. And that is, this last weekend when you were at church, were you able to edify anybody else? Were you able to build somebody up, even if it was just a compliment? Were you able to build somebody up in your house? Were you able to build up your kids or your grandkids? Were you able to edify your coworkers? And you know, that was one of the things after the Friday program, I made a mental note and said, next time I'm there, I feel very strongly we could be a force for good at our workplaces. And instead of it being an environment where people are known for stabbing one another in the back, how about if we became known as the people of encouragement, the people who are edifying others and building them up, and the people that others liked to be around because we operate by a different mechanism. So just wanted to give you a little different metric today to look at your weekend. Say, were you able to build somebody else? And then ask this question, were you built up? Did you build yourself up? Did somebody else build you up? And if they did, then I hope that you have an attitude of gratitude, a heart of gratitude, and that you don't take that for granted, because, listen, I've got a lot of experience with people putting me down, but I am so thankful for God who chose to build me up. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical for being a part of Merit Assembly of God and helping us here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. And if you're anywhere in Brevard County here and need help with electrical or with your air conditioning or heating, if you'll give them a call at 632-9538, 632-9538, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and they will take good care of you. They've been in business for decades here in Brevard County, and so they will take good care of you. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's go back to verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 9. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So we're going to stop right there for the reading today. And we're going to kind of pick up, I think this is pretty much where we left off on Friday. And it says, so likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? You know, we live in a society where there is more printed material, there is more information available online, more study tools, more different Bible translations than we've ever had before, and yet they are to a large extent ignored by the mass of the population. There's still a large portion of Christianity here in America that is availing themselves of these resources, but there is also a growing segment in our society that has no functional awareness of what the Word of God says. Now, that may be a strange concept for us in 2015, but I want you to know that that is back to the same paradigm that they were operating in the first century. Written materials, printed materials, were very, very scarce. Everything that tended to be learned or grasped came about because somebody communicated it. Now, there were scribes, people who would actually write. There were lawyers who actually read and studied the text and paid attention to the laws. But there were other people that did not avail themselves of that written aspect of the language. And so here we are, and I want to start off with this question. It says, how will it be known what is spoken? So I want to ask you today, how is this society going to know what God has spoken? Now, it tells that there would be a time that was coming, that there would be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. It doesn't say that there would be a famine of the word, that there would be a famine of people actually hearing, acknowledging, and understanding the word of the Lord. And so in a time of famine, that's not the time to throw up your hands and say, well, there's just not a market for the word of God. There's just not a hunger for the word of God. In a time of famine, the word or the bread or the food supply actually becomes even more valuable. And so today, no matter how many scriptures you know, no matter how long you have been in the church, I want you to understand that your knowledge about God, your knowledge of God, your awareness of Him, the scriptures you know, they have never had more value in your lifetime than they do right now in 2015. Don't ignore the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, there's an interesting thing when it talks about all of the sin and the depravity that is going on. It said, they chose not to retain the knowledge of God. It wasn't that God had gone away, that they had made a conscious choice not to retain the knowledge and the awareness of God. So how will it be known what is spoken? That's what 1 Corinthians says. Well, Romans says, how faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear unless someone is sent? And so those are two different phrases. By the way, I meant to mention this on one of last week's programs, because there was a time that I got where my memory just wasn't remembering the text, and with this gas bubble in my eye, it makes reading and thumbing through pages just to try to find a reference a little challenging while I'm also trying to talk here on the air. But I did go back and look it up, and the prophet did actually call Josiah by name as the king who would come and demolish the idolatrous altars that Jeroboam had set up. And so I thought that he had Josiah by name, and that is what the Word of God says. And so I do want you to know that God knows the plans that He has for you. So how will it be known what is spoken? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so one has got to be sent is the other aspect there. If people are going to have faith, they've got to hear, and in order for them to hear, there has got to be one that is sent. And so how will it be known what is spoken? So you and I are those who are sent. We have been divinely and strategically placed by God in Brevard County for March the 16th, 2015. We have been placed here so that people will know what God has said. And our privilege and our responsibility is twofold. One is to make it easy to understand, and the second is to make the Word of God attractive. It is our privilege to make the Word of God attractive. This last week, somebody, well, it wasn't this last, it was a week ago yesterday. Someone called and they wanted to know how our church compared to a church that runs several thousand people. And it's like, we're much smaller. and I said, but if you want to know about missions, then I'll be more than glad to talk to you about missions, because our heart for missions and the portion of our budget that goes to local, global, or U.S. and global missions is very, very good. And so we're actually increasing in that, not diminishing in that. So, I happen to know this church and this particular pastor. And one of the things that he said that has struck me through the years was this statement. He said, "Preachers are notorious for making the most exciting book in the world boring." And that's not what I want to do. I want to make the Word of God alive. I want to make the Word of God exciting. You know, I mentioned this one other time. I was watching T.D. Jakes one night, and he had a clip of a series that he was advertising, and he said, "Jesus didn't come to make you religious. He came to make you alive." And so one more little thank you. Thank you to everybody who donated for the Save Ukraine Now project. Last night we sorted all of those, and we will be taking those and getting them on their way to Ukraine here in the next few days. So thank you to everybody who came and helped and participated in that. So how will it be known what is spoken? If we complicate things, if we muddy the waters, how are people going to understand what God has said to them? He says, "For you will be speaking into the air." And then it says this, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance." Now, you know, somebody asked one time, said, "What do you call a person who speaks two languages?" And the answer is bilingual. And what do you call a person that speaks three languages? And the answer is trilingual. And he says, "What do you call a person that speaks one language?" And the answer is American. We tend to only focus on one language, and that is our language. But you know, if I go to Boston, the dialect that they speak up there is different than the dialect that I spoke from the places that I've come from. And so if you don't understand the language, even if you're speaking the same primary language, but you're speaking a different dialect, there can be some moments of confusion where you think the person is saying one thing, and in actuality, they are saying something different. You say, "I don't know where he's going with this right now." Well, I'm getting ready to make it a little more clear here, and that is this. It is our job to communicate in the language that people are going to understand. It is our job to communicate in a language that the people we're communicating with will understand, not to communicate it in the language that we're most comfortable with, but to communicate it in the language that they are most comfortable with. That's one of the reasons why we have our Fire Bible project, because it speaks in the language of the peoples of a certain region. This year, I think there's six or seven translations that they're working on, trying to get those Bibles into the hands of pastors so that they can understand the Word of God better. That's one of the reasons why we have the Warrior Bible Project, is because there are certain things that can be communicated to people of a military mindset that maybe us non-military people wouldn't understand. I remember going to my son's debriefing conference where the whole family had to come, and I watched speaker after speaker after speaker fail to connect with this group of men because they were communicating. Where they was the information they were sharing valuable? Yeah, it was valuable, but they did not connect with their audience. And then all of a sudden, at one of the last meetings that we went to, there was a guy that got up, and there's several hundred military personnel, and this guy got up there, and he started talking about a common experience that all of them had encountered while they had been deployed. And with that one identifying characteristic, all of a sudden, everybody in that room, he had captivated their attention. You know why? Because he was finally speaking the language that they understood. Everybody else was speaking information in a language that they were comfortable with. This guy spoke in a language that soldiers could understand. So let me ask you, while you are traveling to work today, and, you know, I don't know your work environment. In fact, you might be on your way home. Let me deal with home first, okay? And that is this. Have you really taken the time to analyze and understand what your family members' language is? Now listen, it is not necessarily, well, they speak English, don't they? Well, if they speak English, then I speak English and everybody can. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you know what their native love language is? You know, for some, it may be words. For some, it may be touch. For some, it may be gifts. For some, it may just be sitting there with just a little bit of silence. For some, it may be helping them with their assignments, help shouldering some of the load. Some of them, it may just be spending time with them. Some of them, it may be words of affirmation. I want to ask you, have you ever really stopped to analyze what language you're comfortable with, but what language your family members are comfortable with? Because as I was preparing for this message, I was literally pondering the thought of, I wonder how many of our domestic issues, marital or generational, between parents and kids, I wonder how many of those are rooted in the very base cause of people speaking two different languages. See, if I tell you I love you, but you speak Spanish and you don't speak English, and I tell you I love you, you could go away and say, well, he never told me that he loved me. And I would say, but I did. I told you I love you every day. Or if I told you that you are very important and I said it in English and you only speak French, and you said, you never told me that I was important to you. And I say, I told you you were important every day. But that person doesn't speak English. That's the same concept that Paul is addressing here in the church, where we are commanded to communicate spiritual truths in a language that people will understand. When you come to Merit Assembly of God, I will tell you this, that I do not try and wow people with academic prowess or anything like that. In fact, you know, one of the things that people say is, Pastor Bob, you make it sound so simple. I was witnessing to a guy who was not a Christian, had spent a lot of time. We had blessed this man with food. We had helped him. We had reached out to him. We'd built relationship with him. I had given him rides throughout the community and stuff like that. He has since passed away. And one day he and I were talking, and again, he's not a Christian. And unfortunately, to the best of my knowledge, he never never became one, even though we invited him to on several occasions. And on one occasion, he said, "Pastor Bob, you make Jesus sound so real." And I looked at him and I called him by name and I said, "That is the easiest job in the world because," and I called him by name again, I said, "because he is real. He is not just real for me. He is real for you, and you could know him as Lord and Savior today." So today, it says in verse number 9 there, "How will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." And I my challenge to us as believers is this: let's make sure that we communicate in the language, you know, using words that people will understand instead of just going around speaking into the air. I heard a story one time of people who were going into a region where they had never heard the gospel, and they were taking the verse very literally, and I believe it is very, very true as well, that this gospel must be preached in all the world. And so they went and they found the highest point in the city, and they screamed at the top of their lungs that Jesus Christ was Lord. And that was all, you know, they just communicated the bare bones gospel. They shouted it across the city, and then they moved on to the next city and they did the same thing. And literally they just shouted into the air. And I want you to know that it's doubtful at that point in time that there was any communication that took place. There was just an exhale of verbiage, just an exhale of words that took place. And beloved, we are called to something greater than that. And that is, let's speak the language. If you know a person that is hungry, I don't know the person, but I can tell you this. If you know somebody that is going without food, one of the easiest languages for you to speak to them is treating them to a meal. Even if you have to skip one and say, "You know what, I'm going to use the money that I would have spent on lunch today, and I'm going to buy this person lunch today." Now, we're talking about transformation, transforming sinkholes to skyscrapers. And I, you know, again, I've identified myself as a sinkhole. Every person that I know has the potential of being a sinkhole, but every person I know has the potential of being a skyscraper as well. And so speak the language that they understand. And you know, the best way I know to identify that language, if you and I were to go into a different country and no one had ever translated the language, and you couldn't use your translation feature on your smartphone or anything like that, and you went in and you had to figure out, okay, what does the word that person is saying, what does that mean? You would literally have to make it a priority. You would have to spend a long time just coming to that point and saying, okay, when this person says this, this is what it means. And so when I say this, they're going to understand this. A funny story to help you understand this. Where I came from, which is out in the Midwest, out in Oklahoma, one of our favorite meals was pinto beans, cornbread, fried potatoes, and occasionally we'd have fried fish with it as well. So just depending on if we'd been on a fishing trip or not. But that was one of my favorite meals growing up. That was really fine Oklahoma cooking. And so when I moved to my first church, it's where I met my wife, and she and I were just getting to know one another, and she said, "Well, what are you having for dinner tonight?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I'm having beans." And what I meant by that was I was preparing pinto beans. I didn't have a lot of money. I made like $86 a week was my bring home pay. You just factor that in. That was in the the mid-80s and in a major city, and I was making $86 a week and had bills. So you just look at that and you can see that that's not a lot of money. Well, she went home that night and she said, "Mom, we've got to do something for Bob because, Mom, all he is having for dinner tonight is green beans." And for her, that was the definition of beans. But for me, it wasn't green beans I was having. I was having pinto beans. She thought I was so poor I wasn't even going to have anything of substance that night. And I was looking at it and saying, "Man, this is going to be one of my best meals all week." And so we need to take the time to make sure. I challenge you, the next time that you're having a moment of what I call intense fellowship around your house, I challenge you, before you react or overreact, why don't you spend some time and say, "Wait a minute, are we speaking the same language here?" And if you can track it down to a miscommunication and say, "Oh, that's what it was. I apologize. That's not what I meant. This is what I meant when I said this. This was, I tell you, it will bring peace to your home, peace to your workplace, peace to your church. And I just challenge you to do that. And, let's set out to, communicate the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, died upon a cross, shed his blood for our sins, rose again from the grave on the third day, and he has been ascended up on high. He has been exalted to the highest place in heaven. And he is coming again to take us where he is. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the Word of God. Find a way to share that with somebody this week. Amen? So just to let you know, we do have our Easter program, our Resurrection Sunday. Let me get the title right. This is the way I actually prefer to call it. April the 5th is Resurrection Sunday. We are going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On that day, I will be presenting the Word of God, a powerful message. It will be an illustrated message. There will be word, and there will be an object, something visual that will help you to remember that word. And then after the service, our children are going, we're going to have several booths that are set up. And at each one of the booths, the kids are going to be presented with a portion of the resurrection story. We'd like to invite you to come and be a part of that on April the 5th. Be praying with us about that people would give their heart to Jesus. God bless you. You have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it